Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about the University of Montana's annual Economic Outlook Report and the Republican primary candidate for Secretary of State responds to an ethics complaint lodged against her. It's Wednesday, January 29th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. The Environmental Protection Agency says another Libby Asbestos Superfund site unit is ready to be delisted. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports the public has 30 days to comment on delisting the former vermiculite export plant.
The former vermiculite mine spread deadly asbestos throughout the greater Libby area in the mid-1900s. The 8 units that make up Libby's Asbestos Superfund cleanup site are all in different stages of management. The EPA's Mike Sirian says W.R. Grace's former export plant is ready for the final phase, delisting.
After all the work was done and completed, it's now the Riverfront Park in the city of Libby, Montana.
This would be the second Libby Superfund unit to be delisted. The move comes as the EPA is preparing to hand off ongoing management of the 2 units that consist of Libby and Troy to Lincoln County and the state. That's slated to happen April 1st. The EPA is taking comments on delisting Riverfront Park through February 24th. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
The sheriff leading an investigation into a 16-year-old Crow girl's disappearance and death has requested assistance from the State Division of Criminal Investigation. Bighorn County Sheriff Lawrence Big Hair contacted the State Department of Justice requesting assistance in Selena Not Afraid's case yesterday morning. This comes a week after Crow Nation Chairman A.J. Not Afraid requested the Justice Department's involvement in the case. The Division of Criminal Investigation, which falls under the state DOJ, has agreed to review investigative materials and evidence. DCI Administrator Brian Lockerby wrote in a statement, "External reviews often assist local agencies with ongoing investigations and provide direction for a future course of action." Yellowstone Public Radio News spoke with Not Afraid's grandmother, Francine Amiot, a day ahead of the announcement. She said she wanted DCI to take over the investigation because the Bighorn County Sheriff's Office hasn't made any arrests.
Selena is a person at one time, and they treated her like just some missing girl. After all said and done, I don't trust them anymore.
Amiot says she's hired a private investigator to look into Not Afraid's death and disappearance. The Bozeman Police Department is still investigating the case of a 16-year-old who has been missing for over a week. Gabriel Harding was last seen in the area of West Babcock Street and North 24th Street in Bozeman on January 20th. She weighs 143 pounds and is 5 feet 7 inches tall with brown hair, dyed blue, and blue eyes. Anyone with information regarding Harding's whereabouts can call 406-582-2957. Montana saw wage growth in 2019, but an economic slowdown is expected in the coming years, according to University of Montana researchers. The Bureau of Business and Economic Research released its annual outlook yesterday in Helena. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports.
Patrick Barkey, director of the Economic Research Bureau, says Montana's workforce and economy face new challenges, but it has good recent momentum. The new BBER report gives a big picture on the state's economic outlook through the lens of growth of non-farm earnings in Montana. Those earnings grew 2.7% in 2019, a tick above initial expectations. Barkey highlighted Montana's tight labor market, the narrow window between the number of open jobs and the unemployed workers available to fill them.
It's been a good thing for workers, having lots of jobs available has helped push up wages, and that's really fueling part of this prosperity in the U.S. and the Montana economy.
But Barkey says unemployment rates are an inadequate measure of labor market health. He says a tight labor market is making it more difficult for businesses to find good workers. BBER's economic outlook says recent growth in wages tilts to the west and southwest areas of the state. The report says some of the largest recent wage gains were in Park and Gallatin County at 7.1% and 6.5% respectively. In comparison, Yellowstone and Flathead counties saw comparatively low wage growth at 0.5%. Barkey says it's unclear if the nationwide economic expansion seen since the end of the last recession will come to an end soon. But he adds,
we're going to see a fairly significant slowdown in the state economy as we go forward.
That means earnings could still grow in the state, but the report says the rate of that growth will be much slower. According to data from the Pew Charitable Trust, Montana's personal income growth since the end of the Great Recession is above the national average. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
Researchers say government activity in Lewis and Clark County continues to insulate the area from major economic swings. But an outlook released yesterday by the University of Montana analysts shows wage growth in the area lags behind the state as a whole. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates-Carney has more.
State government makes up 53% of the economic drivers in Lewis and Clark County, according to the report from the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research. The federal government is the next biggest economic engine in the area. Patrick Barkey, director of the University Research Bureau, says a statewide economic slowdown in the coming years won't be felt as much in Lewis and Clark.
That's the way the bird flies here in the state capital. It's never as fast and never as slow. As the rest of the state, it's more steady.
The county saw growth in non-farm earnings of 2% in 2019, behind the 2.7% growth seen across the state. In the new report, university researchers highlighted Lewis and Clark County as having fewer families stretching their budget to afford housing. According to researchers, 32% of renters and 16% of owners in Lewis and Clark County spent more than a third of their income on housing. Across the state, 37% of renters and 22% of homeowners spend more than a third of their incomes on housing. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
A Montana Republican primary candidate for Secretary of State is calling an ethics complaint lodged against her Monday by Montana Democrats a, quote, desperate attack. Nikki Ouellette reports the current chief of staff for Secretary of State says Democrats have nothing on her.
Spokesperson for Christy Jacobson says she broke no laws when she brought up her own candidacy during a work-related interview with News Talk KGVO earlier this month. Woodrow Johnson is a campaign strategist for Jacobson.
My understanding that is that this was a situation where a reporter asked her a question and she just answered it, and that she was not actually doing anything against the law.
The ethics complaint has not yet been accepted by the state's Commissioner of Political Practices.
All right, Christy, if you don't mind.
Earlier this month, News Talk KGVO's Peter Christian asked Jacobson on the program in her capacity as Deputy Secretary of State to get details about candidate filing dates. The first date candidates could file for office was January 9th.
Tell me about the form that they fill out. And is there a cost and things like that?
Jacobson responded with information about required paperwork and fees.
So, for instance, for Secretary of State, the annual salary is $98,104. And so the filing fee for that is $981.04.
And don't forget the 4 cents. Yeah,
that's right. I know that because I paid it yesterday when I filed for office.
Later in the interview, Jacobson said her boss, current Secretary of State Corey Stapleton, had endorsed her as his replacement. Executive Director of the Montana Democratic Party, Sandy Lucky, lodged an ethics complaint over the exchange with the State Commissioner of Political Practices. Lucky alleges Jacobson broke state law by using public time to solicit support for her run for office.
She works in the Secretary of State's office. She's very proud on social media to say that she's been running the office for 3 years in this particular position. She should know better than anyone how to conduct a campaign appropriately.
State Commissioner of Political Practices Jeff Mangan says he expects to decide whether to accept or decline the complaint in the next 10 days. Prior to last May, ethics complaints were confidential until the commissioner decided whether the complaint was under the office's jurisdiction. Strategist Johnson says, quote, these are not things voters should be looking at, end quote. He added Democrats are scared because Jacobson is an obvious frontrunner.
It was a perfectly fine phone call. There was no law being violated. This is, again, just Democrats going out of their way to, out of desperation, to find something.
Jacobson is vying against State Senator Scott Sayles, Montana Supreme Court Clerk Bowen Greenwood, and State Representative Forrest Mandeville in the Republican primary race for Secretary of State. Jacobson lags behind Sayles in cash on hand, but she outfundraised him in the most recent reporting period. Both have lent tens of thousands of dollars to their campaigns. State Senator Bryce Bennett is the only Democrat in the race. Montana's primary election is June 2nd. For YPR News, I'm Nikki Ouellette.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.